Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Lamed, and we are 7 lines from the bottom of daf Chof Tes Amid Beis Hahu Da Omar Le Lechavri. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanesunim Batzaru Vashivya. So we're holding Be'ezus Hashem in the beginning of the third perek of Maseches Bava Basra, perek Cheskes Habatim, and in the last two dafin from the previous machzer, we introduced a little bit the topic of Cheskas Gimel Shonim. We mentioned two of the four yeshiva mahalchim as it relates to understanding the lumdis of exactly how Cheskas Gimel Shonim works. Today's daf is another prime real estate, pun intended, daf here in Cheskas Habatim that's going to go through some of the famous cases. We'll do what we do, and then Be'ezus Hashem, when the daf is over, we'll again give a little bit of an introduction to the noisei of what it is we're learning. Either way, says the Gemara, Ahuda Amalei Lechavrei, there was a person that told his friend, my boss Bahai Besa, what are you doing in my house? Amalei, he told him, Minach Savinte. I know it was once your house, but I purchased the house from you, and as a result, now it's my house. Not just that, Va'achlus Shnei Chazaka. I've already been living in this house for more than 3 years. As a result, I have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Thus, the house belongs to me. Amalei. So the person told him, Ana b'shchuni gavoy havoy. I know that you lived in this house for 3 years, but I want you to know, I also lived in this house for 3 years. Now, the reason you didn't see me is because apparently this house or this estate was rather large and you were living in the outskirts of it and I was living somewhere inside. The point is, he told him that although it's true you were living here for 3 years and based on that you have technically what it takes to have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim, but I was also living here. And because I was also living here, as a result, your Cheskas Gimel Shanim is null and void. Now, the Rashbam explains that why would it be that if the other person, the Ma'arer, also lived for 3 years in this property, that would negate the Cheskas Gimel Shonim of the Machzik? So the Rashbam says because really the whole Cheskas Gimel Shonim works because of the fact that somebody was living in this house and the person who claims to be the owner allowed that person to live there. He wasn't Moicha, and as a result, there's a raya that it must belong to the person that's being machzik, the person that lived there. Well, to the extent that he was physically living in the house, that in and of itself would constitute a macha, and as a result, he didn't feel that he had to protest in the old-fashioned way by picketing. The fact that he was there, that in and of itself is tantamount to a macha. The bottom line is, the ma'arer tells the machzik that I understand you've lived there for 3 years. You even have edim that say that you lived there for 3 years. However, I've also been living there, and because I've also been living there, your living there 3 years doesn't constitute a cheskas gimel shanim. So the Gemara says there was a dispute, also the kamid Rav Nachman, and it was brought to the great Rav Nachman. Amalei, Rav Nachman said, Zil bror achiloscha. So Rav Nachman told the machzik, he said that if you want to be able to keep this property, you would have to prove that you lived there for 3 years, which he had already proved, but you would have to prove that you lived there for 3 years by yourself and that this ma'arer didn't also live there. If you can prove that, you have a cheskas gimel shanim, but if you cannot prove that, then it's going to go to this other person that we know for sure owned it at some point. Amalei Rava, so Rava heard Rav Nachman's psak, and he said, Hachi Dina, does that make sense? I disagree. Why should the machzik have to prove that the Ma'arer was not also living there for 3 years? To the contrary, Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olavaraya. Right now, the machzik is the muchzik in this field. He lived there for the last 3 years. The Ma'arer wants to come now and take it away from him by claiming that he also lived there. That's something that he would have to prove. The raya and the onus is upon him. Hamoitzi mechaveri olava raya. Unless the ma'ara can prove that he was b'shchuni gavoy havoy, we would live it by the machzik. So the bottom line is, we have a situation where you have your classic cheskas gimel shonim dispute, where Somebody goes over to his friend and he says, what are you doing in my house? He says, I know it was once your house. However, I purchased it from you. He says, really? If that's the case, where's your shtar? He says, I've been living here for 3 years. After 3 years, like Rava said on Amud Aleph, I don't have to have my shtar anymore. And as a result, I have a cheskas gemil shanim. I'm allowed to stay here. Usually, that would be the end of the conversation. Over here, however, the ma'arer, this moicher, came with a follow-up taina. He says, true, I understand you've been living here for 3 years. And by the way, like in every cheskas gimel shanim, the machzik actually brought edim that he was living there for 3 years. However, he said, I was also living there. And because I was also living there, me also living there is the equivalent of macha. And as a result, your chazok is not really going to be a chazok. So really, what we're left with is a dispute. He said, the machzik is tining, I don't know, I never saw you, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I have edim that say that I have a cheskas gimel shanim. The ma'ar is saying, no, it's not true. I was clearly 100% living there. And because of that, your chazaka is not really a chazaka. So we have a situation where the machzik's been living there for 3 years, but what we're not sure about is whether or not that would make it a cheskas gimel shanim, and not make a cheskas gimel shanim. What do you mean? Every time the machzik's living there for 3 years, by definition, doesn't that mean it's a cheskas gimel shanim? No, because to the extent that the ma'ar is telling the truth, that he was also living there, so that would get in the way of the cheskas gimel shanim, and if that's the case, we would have a problem. So, what was the halacha? It was a machloikis Rav Nachman and Rava. This shaila was brought to the court of Rav Nachman, it was brought to the court of Rava, and they issued different psalkim. Rav Nachman said that the machzik is the one that has to prove that he had a cheskas gimel shanim all by himself, zil brarachilascha, otherwise it goes to the ma'ar. Rava said just the opposite. The machzik is considered the muchzik, and therefore the ma'ar is the one that has to prove that he was there, and if he can't prove that he was there, then we're going to leave it by the muchzik. Tosfos speaks out, it's the bottom Tosfos for the Yomid, that you have to say that the case over here was where the ma'arer has edim that he lived there together with the machzik. Because if he doesn't have edim that he lived there together with the machzik, then you really just knocked out every cheskas gimel shanim. Because we're used to thinking that if a person has edim that can prove that he lived in this house for 3 years, perfect, he has his cheskas gimel shanim. You prove that you were moicha, I'll prove that I lived there 3 years, and like this, that's how cheskas habatim works. But if you're telling me that the ma'ara could always say, ana b'shchuni gavoi havoi, so that's something that technically should undermine every single cheskas gimel shanim. And Tosfos says, I'm not aware of the ma'ara having such a taina that's able to accomplish that. So Tosfos says, you have to say, it's talking about where the ma'ara really had edim to prove that he had lived there for 3 years. Okay, so what's the shiloh? The shiloh over here is whether or not he ever passed by the machzik, so that he was moicha, or even if he wasn't moicha in the traditional sense, but him passing by the machzik, that in of itself would constitute macha, or maybe every single time he went around this plantation, he would go in a direction where he wasn't crossing paths together with the machzik, and as a result, it wouldn't render a macha. But the point is, you have to say, says Tosfos, that there's more aglaim l'dover to what the ma'ar is saying than simply him coming with a taina, ano b'shchuni gavoy havoy. But what he's doing is, he's bringing edim. Now the question only is whether the machzik knew about it, or the machzik didn't know about it. The machzik saying, I don't know what you're talking about. You were never moicha, I never saw you. He's saying, it's not true, I used to pass you. That already is a shayla. It has a root in some real basis because he has edim that proved that at the very least he was there, and it's there that we had this machloikis between Rav and Rav Nachman. So again, what's the tut stadim? According to Rav Nachman, who has to bring the raya? It's the machzik that has to bring the raya. According to Rav Nachman, no, the machzik's been living it for the last 3 years. Who has to bring the raya? It's the ma'ara that has to bring the raya. Now, if we were going to sit down now and we were going to try to figure out the lumdus of this shayla, so there's probably several different ways that you can slice and dice this shayla. It's a real nezikin, a real bava basra, real cheskes habatim de geshayla. The Gemara now is going to make an interesting assumption, and the Gemara is going to assume that what's the yesoid of the shayla? What underpins the machloikas between Rav and Rav Nachman? What underpins the shayla is, if there's a dispute between a buyer and a seller, and we're not really sure who's telling the truth. He said and he said. Does the buyer have to bring the raya, or does the seller have to bring a raya? Now, just to be clear, every cheskes habatim, you're dealing with a buyer and a seller. You're dealing with the machzik, who's the machzik, but he's also the buyer. You're dealing with the ma'arer, who's the ma'arer, but he's also the seller. And the reason the ma'arer and the machzik are buyers and sellers is because the only time cheskes gimel shanim works is if it's a chazaka she'eshi mataina. So what's the taina? I know it was once yours. You're the marakama, etc., etc., but I bought it from you, right? So the machzik is the buyer and the ma'arer is the seller. Thus, the Gemara's understanding is that when Rav Nachman said, Zilbra rachilascha, when Rav Nachman said that the machzik has to prove that he's been living here by himself and that the ma'arer wasn't living there, essentially what he's saying is the buyer needs to prove that what he bought really belongs to him. And when Rava said, Hachidina, Hamoitzi Mechaveri, all of a raya, that really it's the Ma'arer that has to bring the raya, what's he essentially saying? What he's essentially saying is that it's not the buyer that has to prove his position, but rather it's the seller that has to prove his position. So according to Rav Nachman, the way the Gemara understands it right now is Alolei Keach Lavi Raya, and according to Rava, the way the Gemara understands it now is Ala Moichel Avi Raya. And again, to be clear, I don't know if we would walk away balabatish thinking that that's the machloikis, that every time there's a dispute between a buyer and a seller, does the buyer have to bring the raya? Does the seller have to bring the raya? To me, it sounds more like a question between a machzik and a ma'arer. Maybe it's a cheskes habatim, digashayla. There's a lot of nuance in every one of these cases. But super duper high level, that's the way the Gemara understands it right now. And with that segue, says the Gemara, v'rami d'rav ader rava, v'rami d'rav Nachman ader Rav Nachman. If that is in fact the havana of the machloikis, that Rava understands the seller has to bring a raya, and Rav Nachman understands the buyer has to bring a raya. Have a steer, and Rav Nachman, says the Gemara, Ahuda amalei l'chavre. There was a person that told his friend, kol nichsi debei bar sisin mizavnino l'cha. So this person owned a lot of nechasim. Some of the nechasim that he owned, he had purchased from bar sisin. That was a family. And those nechasim were referred to, very accurately, as the estate of Bar Sisin. Either way, this person's a soicher, clearly. And he goes and he sells all the nechsi debei Bar Sisin to somebody else. Okay, says the Gemara, Haboya hi hara, there was a certain piece of property that this seller had, Davi Mikri debei Bar Sisin, that was referred to as Bei Bar Sisin. Stating that, the Rashbam says, but it wasn't clear whether that property had been purchased from Bar Sisin or had not been purchased from Bar Sisin. Meaning, this person had an estate, let's say 10 properties, a portfolio, that was known as nechsi debei Bar Sisin. He had an 11th property that was also referred to as Nichsi Debei Bar Sisin, but it wasn't clear whether he had purchased it from Bar Sisin or not purchased it from Bar Sisin. It's a little tricky. When he sold called Nichsi Debei Bar Sisin, he wasn't selling all Nechasim that are referred to as Nichsi Debei Bar Sisin. He was selling all the Nechasim that he had purchased from this Bar Sisin. So this one property, which was questionable whether it was purchased from Bar Sisin or not purchased from Bar Sisin, was suddenly up in question whether it's included in the Mechira or it's not included in the Mechira. So the Gemara says like this, Amalei halav de Bar Sisin hi. The seller told the buyer that I know I agreed to sell you all the nichsi de Bar Sisin, and I know I agreed to sell it to you at a certain price. However, I never meant to include this property. Why? Because I didn't buy this from Bei Bar Sisin. Now, Ve'ikru Yehu de Mekaryu de Bei Bar Sisin. Just so happens, very conveniently, very coincidentally, that's what I refer to this property as. Why? Akasha Famaisa. But the bottom line is, I'm telling you, I never bought this from Bei Bar Sisin. And the other guy says, I don't know what you're talking about. You told me you're selling all the Nechsi de Bei Bar Sisin. I have the title, I have the deed. It's called Nechsi de Bei Bar Sisin Balaz. So if that's what it's called, how could you tell me now that that's not something that I purchased? Either way, there was a big din Torah, and the Gemara says, also the Kamid Rav Nachman. This Shaila was brought to Rav Nachman, Oikma Biyada de Loikeach. And Rav Nachman said, I hear it's a Shaila. I don't know what to do. Thus, the Loikeach is the one that's going to get it. In other words, you Meicher need to prove that really you didn't mean to sell this and it's not part of the Nichsi de Bei Bar Sisin. Otherwise, the Loikeach is going to keep it. Amalei Rava. So Rava heard that he said, Dina Hachi? Is this the way you go about this? What are you talking about? It's poshit that the Loikeach can't just go ahead and take this piece of property away from the Meicher. Why? Because right now it's the Meicher's property. You have a shiloh whether the Meicher sold or the Meicher didn't sell. So who has to bring the Raya? The Leikech has to bring the Raya. In other words, Rav Nachman said the Meicher has to prove his position, whereas Rava said the Leikech has to prove his position. Says the Gemara, Kasha the Rava, the Rava, Kasha the Rav Nachman, not Rav Nachman. It's a stirus Rava, it's a stirus Rav Nachman. Again, at first glance, the two cases have nothing to do with each other. But if we're going to make an assumption that the Hezber and the Machloik is Rav and Rav Nachman, in the first case, is Ala Lekeach Lavi Raya or Ala Moicha Lavi Raya, well, Rav Nachman said Ala Lekeach Lavi Raya and Rav said Ala Moicha Lavi Raya. And here, they literally flipped their positions. So based on that, says the Gemara, Avastir Rav and Avastir Rav Nachman, and third, the Gemara, no, the Rav Lekasha, as it relates to the Stira and Rav, it's not a Kasha. Hossam over there, now where's there? There is Nichsi de Bebar Sisin, right? Here is the first case, because the first case is a Cheska Skimel Shanim case, as opposed to Nichsi de Bebar Sisin, which is more of a transactional dispute. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, Hasim over there, Meicher Koi Benechse. Over there, who's the Muchsik? The Muchsik is the Meicher, right? The Meicher is the one that's holding on to all the property. Being that the Meicher is the one that's holding on to the property, so therefore, who needs to bring the Raya if he wants to schlep out from the Meicher? The Lekech is the one that has to bring the riot. That's why Rava said, Dino Hachi, Hamoitze Mechaveri Oliver Rai, the Lekech is the one that's going to have to prove it. But Hoch over here, in the case of Cheska Sabatim, Lekech Koi Benechse. Who's the one that's Koi Benechse? The Lekech, because we know for sure he's been living there for the last 3 years. Now the Moicha wants to say that I know Beshchuni Gavoy, Avoy, that I was also living there. Also, you want to slap it away from the Lekech. You want to slap it away from the Lekech. So it's all of Lavi Araya, and that's why over here, Rava Paskin, that the Moicha has to bring the riot. In other words, it's not a question of Lekech and Moicha. It's a question who's the Muchsik and who's the Moitze. The Moitzi is always the one that has to bring the Raya. If the Moitzi is the Moicher, like in the first case, so then the Moicher has to bring the Raya. If the Moitzi is the Lekeach, like in the second case, then the Lekeach is the one that's going to have to bring a Raya. So that's the way we get out of the Stira and Rav. The Rav Nachman, Nami Lekasho. As it relates to the Stira and Rav Nachman, it's also not fair. Why? Hossam over there, Kivin the Amalei, the Bei Bar Sisin, Rav Nachman held that the reason the Moicher is the one that has to bring the Raya in the case of Nichsi de Bar Sisin, it's because what did the Moicher say? He said, I'm selling you Nichsi de Bar Sisin. Umikari de Bar Sisin. And this property is called Nichsi de Bar Sisin. Thus, Allah de Dei, Ram Yulagluya, the Lab de Bar Sisin. So if you want to tell me now that it's not included, well, at the very least, can you at least bring a Raya? You can't just come with some frivolous taina and say, nah, I didn't really mean that. I have 10 properties that are called Nichsi de Bar Sisin, and they were purchased from Bei Bar Sisin, and this one not. So at the there's no question you would have to bring the Raya. Aval Hoch over here, as it relates to the Cheska Sabatim case, Lo Yehei Elo de Nokit Shtara. Here, Rav Nachman holds that the Lekeach has to bring the Raya. And you know why? Because what are you tining? You're tining, he's the Muchsik. Why is he the Muchsik? Because he just lived there for 3 years. And there's no question he lived there for 3 years. He has Edom that can prove that he lived there for 3 years. The Moicher is tining, Ano b'shchune gavoy avoy. Proof it, that Ano b'shchune gavoy avoy. Says Rav Nachman, even if it's true that we know for sure beyond a reasonable doubt that the Lekeach lived there for the last 3 years, no, so it's like a clutter raya that it is, right? And what would be a good mushal of that? Lo yehei elo de nakit shtar. It's as if he has a shtar that says he bought it. Okay, milo yamino le kaim shtar chavikum benichsi. If somebody has a shtar that says that he loaned somebody money, or that he sold something, he bought something from somebody, whatever it is. There's a concept called Kim Shtaris, right? Just because you have a Shtar and Edom Achsumen al Ashtar is Nasik Mishenech Kriyedusim Bebezdin, but Kim Shtaris underpins everything, right? So we're familiar with the concept of Kim Shtaris. So just because you have a Cheskas Gimel Shonim does not mean that if somebody wants to come and somebody wants to be Ma'ara with a decent Taina, he doesn't have the ability to do that. So Enochinami says, Rav Nachman, the person right now has a chazaka, and based on that, it gives him a certain level of muchzakos, but at the same time, it's not better than if he had a shtar. And just like if he had a shtar, he wouldn't be infallible, right? If Ma'ara would come and he would say, the shtar is mezuyif, the edom are forged, so it's a legitimate taina, go prove that they're not forged. So here too, you can say, go prove to me that your chazaka is a perfect chazaka. How would you prove it? Zil Bror Achilascha proved that nobody else was living there. But just because you have a chazaka doesn't mean that you're not mechuyev to go prove beyond that. Either way, says the Gemara. Again, super high level. Here, Rav and Rav Nachman take the position, Ala Lekech, Ala Moicher. There, they take the opposite position. But if you go through each case individually, they each have their own nuance, which explains why Rav and Rav Nachman issued their psukim in their cases respectively. Zok the Gemara, more cheskas abatim. Huda amalei lechavi. There was a person who went up with his friend and he told him, "My boys behai base. What are you doing in this house? It's my house." Amalei say he told him, "Correction, it was your house. Now it's my house, right? Minoch zavant. I bought it from you. Vachalti shnei chazaka, and I already have a chazaka. So." Yeah, shtar, no shtar. Once I'm living there for 3 years, at that point, it's mine. Amalei, so the person told him, so I'll be honest with you, you never bought it from me. Aye, so why did I let you live there for the last 3 years? Because b'shuki baroy avoy, I travel for business, and as a result, I've been around, not here, other places, and therefore, I wasn't here to be meicha, and because I wasn't here to be meicha, so therefore, your chazaka is not a good chazaka. Now, the truth is, long Rashbam, like there is on almost every line in Cheskes Abatim, but the Rashbam says that really this taina that the Ma'ar has is a legitimate taina, and it's really based on a sugya l'kaman on Daflam et Ches, where although there's a concept called Cheskes Gimel Shanim, but in the event that the Ma'ar, the quote-unquote Moicher, was out of town for the last bunch of years, so the Chazak is not a good Chazak. Because Chazak is predicated on the fact that if I've been living here for 3 years, and you knew about it, and you are a Moicher, must be it's mine, right? That's the Raya of Cheskes Raya, that is Cheskes Gimel Shana. Well, in this situation, the person wasn't around. So because he wasn't around, so he had no way of being Moicher. So really, what this person is tining is a good taina. The only question is whether he's telling the truth. The taina has tremendous merit. He said, "Ano b'shuki baroy avoy." I was traveling, and because I was traveling, I never had the opportunity to be moicha. Maybe I didn't know, or if I knew, I had no way of really getting it out there. But the point is that the taina in and of itself is a festa taina. The question is it emes or not? So he says, "B'shuki baroy avoy amalei." So what did the machzik come back and tell him? For isli sahadi the chol shata have a osas talsin yomim. Listen, I know that you were traveling, but I have eidim that can prove that every single year you used to come home for 30 days. Amalei, so he told him it's true. I used to come home for 1 month every year. A betalsin yomim b'shukai. That 1 month, a real family guy, that I came home, I was busy working, and as a result, I pushed wasn't around. So he's traveling 11 out of 12 months a year, and the 1 month he's home, Bishukoi Avitaridna. But the bottom line is, he told him, I never had an opportunity to be Moicha. So again, what's the question? We don't know who's telling the truth. So how do we go about this? Amar Rava, so Rava Paskin, he said, Ovid Inish, the whole Talsin Yom Yatar Bishukah. It's a legitimate time that there are people sometimes that are away 11 out of 12 months a year, and even the 1 month that they are there, sometimes they're tarred in the shuk. As a result, the taina in and of itself is a legitimate bona fide taina. Being that it's a good taina, the machzik would have to prove his position in order for him to be able to establish his cheskas gimel shanim. Zok to Gemara Vayta. Huda amalei lechavrei. There was a person who went over to his friend and he told him, "My boy is by Ara. What are you doing in my piece of property, Amalei?" So he told him, "I'll be honest with you. Mi planya zavanta. I bought it from Pliny." So Reuven goes over to Shimon and he tells Shimon, "What are you doing in my land?" So Shimon tells Reuven that mi planya zavanta. I bought it from Levi. I bought it from a third person. Okay. The Omar Li who told me the zavna minach that he himself bought it from you. So Reuven tells Shimon, "Get out of my house." Shimon tells Reuven, "I bought it, not from Reuven." He says, "I bought it from Levi. But Levi told me that he bought it from you." Now, there's a long Rashbam on the top of Daf Lamed Amud Beis, where the Rashbam says that the Gemara here doesn't say a word about Cheskas Gimel Shanim, right? Doesn't say that he was there already for 3 years. And the Rashbam says that this case actually is not necessarily contingent upon the fact that he lived there for 3 years. It's not contingent upon the fact that he doesn't have a shtar. This story would be true even if he has a shtar. Now, the Rashbam says it could also be talking about where he doesn't have a shtar, and he's coming mikayach the fact that he's been living there for 3 years. The Rashbam even goes further to say that there's nafkaminas and how the sugya plays itself out. Whether he's claiming that I have a shtar or he's claiming that I have a cheskas gimel shtanim, that's extra credit if you want to go through the Rashbam. It's a real Tosfos digger Rashbam. But the bottom line is that the case itself really has nothing to do with Cheskas Gimel Shanim. The point is this. The point is Reuven tells Shimon, "Why are you on my property?" Shimon tells Reuven, "I bought it from Levi, who claims that he bought it from you." Amalei. So Reuven told Shimon back, "Ad lavka moidis, dahai ara didihi. You moided to me, are you not, that I once owned this piece of property?" Now, where was Shimon moided to Reuven that Reuven wants all this piece of property? Because what did Shimon tell Reuven? He told him, I bought it from Levi, who claims that he bought it from you. Oh, so you're moided that I once owned this piece of property. Additionally, you're moided that you never bought it from me, right? We can all agree that we never met each other. Yes, sir, right? So he said, if that's the case, Zil, which in English means, please leave my property, Lav bal dvarim didiat, I don't know who you are. You have no right to be on my property. And as a result, l'chaim l'shalom. Amar Rava, Rava said, dinar kamalei singot. He has 100% the right to go ahead and to do that. In other words, in this case, Reuven has a right to tell Shimon to get off his property because Shimon is being moided to Reuven that he once owned the property, that Reuven did. He has no taina where he can prove any relationship that he had directly together with Reuven. He doesn't have a taina that he ever bought it from him, etc., etc. As a result, if he wants to ask him to leave, this is something that he can do. And the bottom line is that dina hachi, he has a right to let him go. We mentioned that there's a long Rashbam that explains this Gemara. One of the things that the Rashbam says, just brings out the interestingness of the case, is it sounds like Reuven never had Edim that he himself once owned this piece of property. Reuven goes over to Shimon, he says, what are you doing on my property? Shimon says, what do you mean? I bought it from Levi, who bought it from you? So he says, 1 second, you might have bought it from me. You're moider that I once owned it, right? Okay, and you're also moider that I never sold it to you. Well, if that's the case, Zil, Belaz, and La Bal Dvarim Didiat, and Rava says, Maskim 100%. Says Rashbam, if Reuven had Edim, that he at some point owned this piece of property, then why did Reuven have to tell Shimon, you know it was once mine, you were moider that it was once mine, because you said you bought it from Levi, who bought it from me. You're saying good, but like they say in yeshiva, say better, right? Reuven has Edim. The Edim themselves are screaming and they're shrying that this at some point belonged to Reuven. From the fact that Reuven is not saying that, and Reuven's basis to knock Shimon off the property is the fact that Shimon was murdered to Reuven. That Reuven once owned it, vice versa, he never had Edom. So this is actually very interesting because Reuven has no Edom that he ever owned this property. Shimon has a shtar, which means Edom, that he bought it from Levi. Yet at the same time, Reuven gets to knock Shimon out. And the reason is because in Shimon's argument with Reuven, he had a bad lawyer, but in his argument with Reuven, he was moided to Reuven that this piece of property once belonged to Reuven. He also has no taina anywhere suggesting that he ever got it directly from Reuven. The fact that he got it from Levi, who got it from Reuven, Reuven's like, I don't know what you're talking about. As a result, Zil and Rava Paskin Dina Hachi has every right to go ahead and to say that. Another case. There was a person that told his friend, my boy's payaro, what are you doing on my land? Amalesa, he told him, Mi planyo zavino, vachaltish nechazaka. He says, what do you mean? I bought it from Pliny, and I already have a cheskas gimel shok. So Reuven goes over to Shimon, he says, Shimon, what are you doing on my property? Shimon says, slow down. I bought it from Levi, and I have already a cheskas gimel shonim. I've been living here for 3 years. Nobody was ma'ar, not Levi, not you, and as a result, I get to keep this. Amale. So he told him, planyo gazlano. He says, Pliny, that person was a gazlan. Meaning, it was my property, and he stole it from me. So it's true, maybe, that you bought it from him, but I'm letting you know, when he sold it to you, he was selling something that didn't belong to him. And because he sold something that didn't belong to him, therefore your buying it is not a real buying, and as a result, I want to throw you out. Now, just to hit the pause button for 1 second, Shimon has a cheskas gimel shonim, right? That's the case. He said, he said, I've been living here already for 3 years. What's Reuven's taina? Reuven's saying, well, I understand, but you bought it from Levi, and Levi's a gazlan. Now, the story's going to continue a little bit. I hear, Lamais, I've been living here for 3 years, right? And you would have a moicha, so as a result, why don't I have the cheskes raya of cheskes gimel shonim? So the short answer is, because a chazaka only works if it's a chazaka she'eshi mataina. Right? Chazaka in and of itself doesn't establish anything. It has to be a chazaka with a taina, and the taina has to be a good taina. And over here, the taina is what's being undermined. It's not the 3 years that's being undermined. The Ma'ar is not saying I was moicha. What he's saying is your taina is nitkan gut taina. Because what's your taina? You bought it from a gazlan. So if the underlying Mekachumemker was an illegitimate Mekachumemker, well, that's just one of eight ways that you can knock out a chazaka. But the bottom line is, so Reuven told Shimon that I understand you bought it from Levi, but Levi was a Goslin, a Malay. So Shimon had a follow up. He told him like this: "For Isli Sahati, says I want you to know, I have two Edim, the Asoi im Lichibach, that can testify in a court, in front of a judge and a jury, that I came to you and I asked you whether or not I should buy this piece of property. The Amritli, and you told me Zilzvit. You said, yeah, go ahead and buy it. It's a very good idea. I think it's a good piece of property. You should buy it." In other words, you're telling me now that when Levi sold a piece of property, it was your piece of property? If it was your piece of property, how come when I asked you advice, should I buy it, you told me to buy it? That doesn't sound like something you would do if it was yours. What you should have done is you should have been Meicha, right? You should have screamed. What are you talking about? You're going and you're buying this piece of property? It belongs to me. So he told him back. He says, listen, I'm letting you know, I have Edim that can prove that this happened. We caught this. And as a result, what you're saying is obviously not the truth. I'm a lazy. He told him, no, I agree. I have no problem with these Edim. And I did. I wanted you to buy. You know, I wanted you to buy because I realized what kind of a baldover you are. You're not the sharpest tool in the shed. This other guy was a chevroman. I was having a hard time trying to get it out of him. So I figured, perfect. My lucky day. You're going to buy it. I'm going to go after you. Like this, I'll be able to get it. Meaning the original owner was somebody that I was having a very hard time trying to get this property out of. But you, it's so easy. She said, I'd rather deal with the Tzveita guy as opposed to the Rishon. And as a result, 100%, I went along with this. Now, the Paiskim do say that this person was overlaven. Lifnei Iver Leisitei Michshol. Right, we have red bites. That means Eitzah Sheheno Igenes. I mean, he's clearly not the nicest guy. But most Chevron Bava Basra are not of the highest ilk, right? But the point is, from a pure Chayshim Mishpat standpoint, the fact that he said to the person, go ahead and buy it, doesn't necessarily mean that he was murdered, that it doesn't belong to him. So the Gemara says, Amale Rava, so this case was brought to Rava, and Rava said, Dinu Kamale, he's saying good. Rava seems to be taking all the controversial positions in our daf. And he says, listen, the guy's saying good at the end of the day, just because he said, go ahead and buy it, doesn't necessarily mean that he's admitting that it doesn't belong to him. Says the Gemara, Keman Ka'admoin, Lachura, Rava's Psak seems to follow the sheet of Admoin. Now we learned in the Mishnah, who's Admoin? So Admoin is of the end of Masechtes Ksubas fame, Ma'ir al Asada. If somebody is being Ma'ir al Asada, so somebody's claiming about a certain field, that the field was stolen and then sold, but really the field belonged to him. V'chazim ole'o be'ed, and it turns out that this Ma'ar, the guy that's claiming that the transaction was an illegitimate transaction because the Meicher stole his thing and that's what he sold. He was one of the Edim on the Shtar Mechira. Admon Eme Admon says that it's fine. Meaning, just because he signed as an Ed doesn't necessarily undermine his taina that it belonged to him. Why? Because he could always say, Rava's argument, Hasheni Noyachli, Harisha Goshe Manu, he could say that, yeah, I wanted this sale to go through. Again, he's not a good guy, but he could say, I wanted the sale to go through because I knew it'd be easier for me to handle with the second person than to handle with the first person. The Chomim say, Ibir Eschus, once you sign off on this Shtar Mechira, you're one of the Edim, you lose your schus now, moving forward, to be able to ever claim that it belongs to you. So says the Gemara, at first glance, it sounds like Rava's psak is going Libet Admin, the Gemara says, no, I feel the Tamer Rabbanon. It could be that really Rava said his halach even according to the Rabbanon. Why, Hassam over there, over there, Maisa. Over there, the person signed on a shtar. You signed on a shtar, you did a physical act. Avalach over here, Dibura, Dibura, all it is was words and Avadinish, the Mikri V'Amar. People say things sometimes. So if you do a Maisa, it's a physical act, that's much more serious than simply talking, right? In the world of Malchus, there's a lav sheyesh by Maisa and a lav sheim by Maisa. So a Maisa, of course, is a lot more significant. So it could be even the Chachamim that argued with Admon and they hold Ibed Eschusa, they only said their halacha with the guy signed. If he did a Maisa, then already that's some sort of admission. But Stam Dibur Ba'alma, Lav Dafkin, and therefore could be Rav's Psak Halacha, even though at first glance it sounds literally as if it's Admon's halacha. Lav Dafkin is telling the Machloikis, Admon and the Chachamim. Nocha Kes. Ahuda Amalei the Chavid, there was a person that told his friend, my boy is Payaro, what are you doing in this land? It's mine. Amalei, so he told him, Mi Planya Zavinta, Vachalti Yishne Chazok. He says, what are you talking about? He said, I bought it from Pliny, and I already had Cheskas Gimel Shana. I've been living here already for 3 years. Again, same names. Reuven goes over to Shimon. What are you doing in my property? Shimon says, I bought it from Levi, and I've already lived there for 3 years. I have a cheskes gimel shanim. Levi wasn't moicha, you're not moicha. As a result, I get to keep it. Amalei, so Reuven told Shimon, planya gazlanu. Says, you bought it from Levi? Levi's a gazlan. He stole it from me. It was really mine. Amalei, so Shimon told Reuven, similar to what he told him in the previous case, but a little bit different. He said, Va'isli sahadi, I have edim, the osnis ba'urta, that you yourself, you, Reuven, came to me last night, the amritli, and you told me, Zavna Na'ali, can I please buy this piece of property from you? Now, if it's really yours, and you're contesting right now this whole transaction, then why do you want to buy it from me? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. So the fact that you tried buying this piece of property is the biggest raya that it's not yours. Because if it's yours, why would you buy it? So the Gemara says, Amalesi, he told him back like this. I'll be honest, it's mine. It's mine. Levi's a gazlan. He stole it. It really belongs to me. And truthfully, I've been trying to sue him, and I've been going after him in every which way, and I've been unsuccessful. But I want this piece of property so badly that I'm actually willing to pay for it, even though it really belongs to me. So he said, Amina, I said, Izvin, Dinoi, I'll buy what really belongs to me. So just because I try buying it, that in of itself is not a raya that it's not really mine. What comes to mind? Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when he's handling with the Bnei Ches, he says, Ger v'toshev anoichi. He says, if you want, you know, I'm happy to play nice with you. I'm happy to pay for it as if it's not mine. But if not, you know, I'm going to play hardball because really this belongs to me. Hashem already said, Lizaracha nasati esaretz azois. But the bottom line is, he said, Izbin dinoi. I'm a Rava. Rava heard him out and he said, Avadinish des Avadinei. He's not saying bad. It's a very legitimate taina. And It's a kaychataina. You can't simply dismiss it. The fact that there are edim that prove that he tried buying it, that's neither here nor there. It doesn't mean anything. Another case. There was a person that told his friend, my boy is Bahayara. What are you doing in this property? He told him, mi planyo zavnino. I bought it from Pliny. And I've been living there already for 3 years. And because I've been living there for 3 years, I have a cheskas gimel shanim. He told him back, I have a star that says, the Zavni li mine ha arboshni. Well, I have a star that says that I bought it from this person 4 years ago. In other words, you're coming and you're tining that you've been living there for the last 3 years. Okay? And how'd you get it? You bought it from Pliny. Again, Levi, right? Reuven goes over to Shimon, what are you doing in my property? Shimon says, what do you mean? I bought it from Levi. I've been living here already for 3 years. So Reuven pulls out a shtar and he says, no, I bought it from Levi 4 years ago. Which means that when he sold it to you, he sold something that he had no right to really sell to you. And as a result, it really belongs to me. Now let's just be clear again. At the end of the day, Shimon's been living here for 3 years and nobody was Moicha, right? Levi wasn't Moicha and Reuven wasn't Moicha. So why the Achri Kechlois HaKoil, doesn't he have a Cheskes Gimel Shanim? The Teretz is, because it's a Chazaka She'eni Mataino. Because at the end of the day, a Chazaka only works if it's supported by a legitimate Taino. What's the Taino? You bought it from someone that had no right to sell it to you. So it's a Chazaka She'eni Mataino, and because it's a Chazaka She'eni Mataino, it doesn't work. Right, the first Gemara, by the way, in Bava Basra, first Gemara, I should say, in Cheskes Habatim was, that if Cheskes Gimel Shanim has a Sheiches to a Shara Mu'ed, then a Chazaka She'eni Mataino should work. It's a kash in the Gemara, but we know Chazaka She'eni Mataina doesn't work. You have to have a taina. And being that over here, you don't have a taina, so he said that, what do you mean? I already purchased it 4 years ago. I'm a lay, so this Shimon came with a comeback. He said, Misavre Shnei Chazaka Tlash Shnei Koamino. You think that when I said I bought it, or years ago, where I've been living there, Shnei Chazaka, I meant 3 years. Like, why would you think Shnei Chazaka means 3 years? Because that's what Cheskes Habatim is. It's 3 years. He said, Shnei Chazaka Tuva Kamina. When I said Shnei Chazaka, I meant I was there for more than 3 years. I meant that I was there for a bunch of years. And I was there longer than you, right? The person says, what are you doing in my property? He says, I've been here for 3 years. I've been here for 4 years. Really? I've been even more than 4 years, right? I've been here longer. They're going back and forth. But the bottom line is, he said, when I said 3 years, I didn't mean 3 years. No, he didn't say 3 years. I said, Shnei Chazaka. I didn't mean 3 years. I meant I've been there, Shnei Chazaka. But Shnei Chazaka maybe could mean even more than 3 years. Oh, my Rava said, Avidi inchi the kar l'shnei tuva shnei chazaka. Sometimes people refer to shnei tuva as being shnei chazaka, and as a result, just because he says shnei chazaka doesn't mean he was only there for 3 years. It could be he was taka there for more than 3 years, and if he was there for more than 3 years, so what would emerge is that he taka came before the ma'ara, and if he came before the ma'ara, so it's for that reason, whatever he's saying is going to be good. Now let's just come up for breath for 1 second. We're stopping here mid-sentence, but just to come up for 1 second. So again, what happened? What happened was Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, what are you doing on my piece of property? So he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I bought this piece of property from Levi. I've been living here already, quote unquote, Shnei Chazaka. Reuven says, you've been living there Shnei Chazaka 3 years, right? Okay. Avishtad that says I bought it 4 years ago. To which Shimon responds that when I said I've been there Shnei Chazaka, I didn't mean 3 years. I meant there even longer than three. I've been living here a long time. We're going to see. The Gemara is going to say he's been living there at least 7 years. I've been living here for a very, very long time. So Rava heard the Shaila, and Rava says, I'm not sure what to say. Oh, Avidi Inshi Dekar L'Shnei Tuva Shnei Chazaka. That when he said I've been there Shnei Chazaka, he didn't mean three as opposed to seven. Maybe he meant seven. And if he meant seven, therefore he's going to be in the right. So what makes Shimon in the right? It's the fact that Avidi Inshi Dekar L'Shnei Tuva Shnei Chazaka. That's what this case is telling you. It's telling you when a person says, I was the Shnei Chazaka. Could it mean Shnei Tuva? Could it not mean Shnei Tuva? So again, the Rashbam and Tosfos, they speak out the rest of the story, right? You need a little bit of color here. And that is as follows. The cases where this person brought Eidim that he was there for the amount of years he's now claiming he was there. So initially he said Shnei Chazaka, and then he tweaked it. And the Gemara is going to say 7 years. Okay, so he has Eidim that he was there already for 7 years. If he has Eidim, he was there for 7 years, for sure he's in the right. Who cares? Avidi Inshi the Kar L'Shnei Tuva Shnei Chazaka. Why is that the sugya? He has Eidim. The teretz is, even though he has Eidim that he was there for 7 years, but once he says, I was there for 3 years, if that's what he said, Kivon Shehigid Shuveni Chazer Magid, or you can't be toyin v'chayzer v'toyin, right? There's certain laws that say that if you're in a court of law and you make a certain argument, so it precludes you from going now and altering your argument. So if we would assume that when the person said that I was there Shnei Chazaka, what he meant to say was that I was there for Shnei Chazaka, but that's 3 years and not more than 3 years. Even if he has Eidim to prove that he was there for 7 years, he's out. And it wouldn't be okay. The reason it works, said Rava, is because Avidi Inshi Dekar L'Shnei Tuva Shnei Chazaka. So just because he said he was there Shnei Chazaka doesn't mean he wasn't there longer. And he has Eidim, obviously. And it's for that reason he's going to win. But the Gemara says, V'hani Mili D'Achla Sheva. It only works if he was there for 7 years. D'Kadim Chazaka L'Hai Shnor D'Hach. So that he was there at least 3 years before Reuven claims to have purchased it. So that he had a Chazaka already before Reuven bought this field from Levi. Aval Shis, let's say when he came back and he tweaked the amount of time he was there, he said, I was there in total for 6 years, then it wouldn't be okay. And then, you know who would get it? Reuven would get it. And the reason is, because Ein Lecha Macha Gedoy L'Mizu. We would assume that when Levi sold the property to Reuven, which he did because Reuven has a shtar to prove it, that constituted a macha. In fact, in lucha macha gedayla mizu, that's like the perfect macha. And as a result, it would knock out anything that Shimon had prior to the sale, and therefore Shimon would end up losing. Reuven would be the one that would end up getting it. So again, in the event that Shimon can prove that he'd been there for 3 years before Levi sold this piece of property to Reuven, it's then and only then that Shimon would be able to keep it. But if he wasn't there for 3 years, let's say he was there for 2 years, so then we would teach that when Levi went and sold to Reuven, that in and of itself was a macha. So if that was a macha, it knocks out that chazaka. The tzveita chazaka, the last 3 years that he has, that's not a good 3 years. Why not? Because it's a chazaka she'ini mataina. Because as much as he bought it from Levi, but Reuven has a shtar that he bought it from Levi before he has a shtar that he bought it from Levi. And as a result, you'd be karech, mikan, and mikan, and you'd be left with nothing. So this that Rava said, Avidi Inshi Dekar L'Shnei Tuva Shnei Chazaka, and therefore Shimon's going to end up getting it. It's only true if Shimon was able to prove that he was there before Reuven, but he was there a full 3 years before Reuven. But if he wasn't there a full 3 years before Reuven, then we would say, yeah, I know that you claim you bought it. I know you were living there. When Levi went and he sold it to Reuven, that in and of itself was a macha. And if that in and of itself was a macha, that would knock out Shimon's claim. The bottom line is, Ad Kan, Bava Basra Daf Lamed. We just went through five or six, like real intense Bava Basra Diga cases. We do what we do. But as promised, just to go back and speak out a little bit more, Divrei Psicha, related to Cheska Sabatim. And I think it's very soidi in terms of understanding Pashup Shat, what's going on. when you learn Perecheskes Abatim. And the truth is that this psicha is really Reb Shmuel Yankif's mavoi to Cheskes Abatim in Shiuri Reb Shmuel Yankif. And it's also that Teres Shmuel's mavoi to Cheskes Abatim in Sefer Teres Shmuel. So the Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas all felt that this is really the proper psicha in terms of understanding the background, the context to Cheskes Abatim. And that is as follows. The story of Cheskes Abatim begins with Reuven going over to Shimon and telling him, why are you living in my house? And Shimon responding that, I understand that this house was once yours. However, I bought the house from you. And right now, the house is mine. What's the halacha? If he's been living there, Shimon, for 3 years, then the halacha is that the Edom that can prove that he's been there for 3 years essentially are Edom that end up giving Shimon this piece of property. If, however, Shimon cannot prove that he's been living there for the last 3 years, even if he can prove he's been living there for the last 2.5 years, it doesn't matter. Unless he has Edom that prove that he's been living there for 3 years, so the halacha is, who is going to get the piece of property? It's going to belong to Reuven. And really, Kana ben Shoyal, why is it like? We know that every time there's a Suffolk Mammon, every time there's a dispute where two people are fighting over a piece of Mammon, he says it belongs to me, and he says it belongs to me. So what's the halacha? Zeh klal gadol b'din, hamotzei mechaveri al haraya. Whoever's the muchzik in the Mammon, he's the one that gets to keep the Mammon. The person that's moitzi from the muchzik, all of haraya, he has to prove that it really belongs to him. Thus haste, Suffolk Mammon, if there's no Edim, etc., gets resolved by Muchzik. Whoever's the Muchzik is the person that gets to keep the Mammon until proven otherwise. If that's the case, why when it comes to Cheskes Abatim, is it not like that? Why when it comes to Suffolk Mammon, where the Mammon is a bias, where the Mammon is a Bar Shiach Uma'ara, where the Mammon is a Beis Abad, whether the Mammon is a Beis Hashlochin, there we say, just because I'm the one that's living here, I'm the one that's using this, I'm the one that's Muchzik, that in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean it's mine. I would have to prove that I've been using it for 3 years, no less, in order for it to be established somehow that it belongs to me. My Shna, every Suffolk Mammon, where we say whoever's the Muchzik, he's the one that is considered the owner, and anyone that wants to take away from the Muchzik, Hamoitzim Mechavei Olav Araya, yet when it comes to Cheskes Abatim, over there you have to hold it for 3 years. Just to say over the kasha, and a little bit of a sharfer nusach, and that is that essentially in every Cheskes Abatim, what the halacha is that if you have a suffolk who owns this house, it's the person that we know for sure was the last person to own it, that's the person that gets the house. Unless the machzik's been living there already for 3 years. But to the extent that the machzik has not been living there for 3 years, so who ends up getting the property? It's the person that we know for sure was the last person to own it. It's what's known in the vernacular as the marikam. So who we know for sure is the last owner of record, he's the one that ends up getting this piece of property. When it comes to classic Suffolk Mammon, there is something called Cheskes Marakama. But Cheskes Marakama in the pecking order comes after Muchzik. The first thing we ask ourselves is, who's holding on to this right now? And whoever has it in his possession right now, he's considered the rightful owner. Meaning, if you have a Suffolk Mammon where one person is the Marakama and the other person is the Muchzik, who gets it? The Muchzik is the one that gets it. When it comes to Suffolk Mammon, Zekal Gadol B'din, every kid in ninth grade knows this, that Muchzik is a Cheskes Mammon, Marakama is a Cheskes Mammon, of a Muchzik versus Marakama, Muchzik wins every day of the week. Yet, when it comes to Cheskes Abatim, it's clear that it's Olam Hafakro, you see. It's just the opposite. Because unless the Machzik can prove that he's been living there for the last 3 years, who's going to be the one that's going to get it? The Marakama is going to be the one that's going to get it. In other words, why is it that when it comes to Cheskes Abatim, the Marakama is other from the Muchzik, whereas when it comes to your classic Cheskes Mammon, there the halacha is that the muchzik is adif from the marakam. It's mavur from here, say the Rishonim, that although we know that muchzik always rules the day. And muchzik is even other from arakama. That's only true by metaltlan. But when it comes to karka, which of course is the noisei of cheskas habatim, there it's different. And over there, there's no muchzik. To the contrary, what there is a marakama. Unless I've been living there for 3 years, so now already I have some fancy schmancy raya that it's mine, because you wouldn't have let me live there for 3 years if it wasn't mine, so then already I get to keep it. But that's based on umdana of cheskes raya, of cheskes gimel shana. But in terms of muchzik, there's no such thing as muchzik. And it's for that reason it goes to the marakama and it doesn't go to the muchzik. The truth is, this is something that is mavur from other sugis in Shas, ayin ksuba staf chafa mit aleph, nechsi de bar shatya, ve'ein kan mekoy mo laharach. But the bottom line is, say the Rishonim, that it's muchach from cheska sabatim, that although in kol ha'tayra kula, whenever there's a sofik mamin, muchzik marakama, and muchzik is other from marakama, but when it comes to cheska sabatim, marakama rules the day, and it almost feels like muchzik is neither here nor there. We don't take it into consideration. And the question is, why not? So the Gedolei Rosh Hashiva said that if you go through the Rishonim, Parakheskas Abatim, what would seem to emerge is that there are three different Mahalcha, three Drachim to explain why this is the case. And we're going to focus on the first two and a very subtle, but maybe not such subtle, nuance that really differentiates the first two. The Iker Mahalach, in terms of understanding this, is in the Ritva. The Ritva is right in the beginning of Parakheskas Habatim, and the Ritva says as follows. He says, why is it that if there's a Safik Mamin, we say that whoever the Muchzik is the one that gets to keep the Mamin? He says it's based on an Umdana. The Umdana is that if I'm holding it, it probably belongs to me. It's what's known as Cheskas Kolma, right? There's a Chazak, Kol Masha Tachas Yad Adam, Hare Elu Shaloi. What's the makar to cheskes kolma? Shnayim moichsim betalis. Ze oimer ani mitzasiya, veze oimer ani mitzasiya, ze oimer kulashali, veze oimer kulashali. What does the Gemara say? Anan sahadi, the maida tofes haidi deyu, maida tofes haidi deyu. Tois is right in the beginning of shnayim moichsim. If a person is holding on to something, that in and of itself is a raya on some level that thing belongs to him. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, right? If you walk into somebody's house and you see his china closet and he has a nice piece of silver there, yeah, it's probably his. And if it wasn't his, why would it be in his china closet, right? So it's ganz yutachin and it's ganz mestaber that it's his. And that's the svara that underpins the whole idea of muchzik. Chazaka kol masha tachas yad adam hare elu shalai. If you meet a person and he's wearing a pair of shoes, they're probably his shoes, because if they're not his shoes, then why is he wearing them, right? It makes perfect sense that that's the way it should be. Says the Ritva, that's true by metaltlan. By karka, you can't say that. And the reason is because karka doesn't move, right? So in order for me to be toifus in karka, all I would really have to do is just walk into the property and be there and say, ah, du binich, it's mine, I'm melech over this piece of property, and as a result, chazaka kol masha tachas yad adam arei elu shaloi, says Ritva, that's too easy. Chazaka kol masha tachas yad adam arei elu shaloi, anan sahadi demay the toughest haidi day works based on the fact that it's not so easy to be holding on to something that belongs to somebody else. And as a result, to the extent that you're machzik in it right now, it's really a raya that it's yours. But the fact that you're standing right now in a living room, even if it's not yours, it's not a raya that it's yours. And it's for that reason, the whole oomph and the whole svara, the feskite, that is chazok kol masha tachas yad adam arei yosholoi, it's something that's true when it comes to metaltlin, but it's not true when it comes to karka. The reshivas are all mitzayin, a lashon of the marit. And this is in Shaila Teshuvas Marit, Chelek Beis, Chesha Mishpat, Simin Lamed, where he says like this, She'ein ha'dover toloi bedin karka oi bedin metaltlin. Elo, taima de metaltlin, mishum denaydi lahu. The reason chazoka works by metaltlin, it's because metaltlin moves. The chazaka, the kol masha yesh tloi la'adam biyadai shalayu. V'ha chazaka mafka micheskes marakama, and that chazaka is better than a marakama. Da me'eleim loy baliyadai, it didn't just come on its own. Masha ekim bekarka she'efshali kones loy me'atzmoy b'li hakna. But karka, it's so easy to walk into somebody's piece of property. You see the door is open, you slide right in. Now it's a raya that it's mine. It's too easy to do, and as a result, it can't be a raya raya that it's yours. And it's for that reason there's no din muchzik when it comes to karka. The way the Achrayim explain it, with a very obvious knech, is that we know, Hagoydros ein lahem chazaka. What does that mean? So, ordinarily, if you have metaltalin, that's a right that it belongs to you. Stating that, goydros, like goats, for example, right? Sheep, ein lahem chazaka. Why are goydros ein lahem chazaka? Because it's very easy for sheep and goats to go from one place to another. They have a mind of their own. And as a result, just because it's in your reshus doesn't necessarily mean that it's yours. In other words, you see already a precedent in Agoydra Seilem Chazaka that just because I'm machzik in something, that in of itself doesn't necessarily mean that it belongs to me. It's for that reason, says the Ritva, that when it comes to karka, there you don't have the ump of the chazaka. You don't have that greiser raya that if it wasn't yours, then why is it in your reshus? And that's why, when it comes to karka, there's no din muchzik. What is there? Marakama. There's no reason not to have a din marakama. And that's why, when it comes to all these sugyas, we're not taking muchzik into consideration. Now, if you're there for 3 years, good, that's a whole different shayla. But to the extent that you're not there for 3 years, over there, you're not going to have a din muchzik. That's the first mahalach. The second mahalach is similar, but different. And that is, the Rambam, in Perik Yir Aleph, Hilchos Toyim V'Nitin Aloch Aleph, says as follows. The Rambam says that if a person goes and he's machzik in somebody else's karka, then in and of itself doesn't make it his. And the reason, says the Rambam, is because karka, wherever it is considered to still be in the reshus of the original owner. Here's the Lashon HaRambam. Kol ha-karkois ha-yuduois le-baleyen, afal pi shehein ato tachas yad acherim, harei hein becheskas baleyen. Again, kol ha-karkois ha-yuduois le-baleyim. All karka that we know for sure once belonged to somebody, afa pishein ata tachas yad acherim, even if right now they're in the reshus of somebody else, harei hein becheskas baleyim, we look at that karka as if it's still in the chazok, it's still in the reshus of the person that owned it originally. It's subtle, but it's acute. The Rambam is saying that the reason by karka, if I'm toifis in the karka, I'm not considered a muchzik, it's because I see this karka as still being in the reshus of the person that we know was the last person to own it. It's physically not in his reshus. I know it's physically not in his reshus. But at the end of the day, it's karka. And karka, wherever it is, we view it as being in that person's reshus. And it's for that reason we still see it as being in the reshus of the marakama. There's a lashon ha-toisvus in Bava Metzia, daf kuf gimel amud aleph, where toisvus says, quote, the karka becheskas baleo kaimo, mishum di efshe lishmoit karka, oyla hatsnia miyad baleo. There's a Rashbam later on Daf Kufei Amud Beis in Bava Basra that says Karka lo oilam becheskes balo imedes mishum de karka inan exelas. Karka is unique in that you can't move karka, you can't steal karka. As a result, if I'm the last owner of record on karka, wherever the karka is, we're gonna say that it's still keilu in my rishos. And it's for that reason, if somebody else happens to be in this karka right now, we're not gonna say that he's the muchzik on the karka. You know who's the muchzik on the karka? It's the person that originally had it, because karka, we still see it in the reshus of that person, and therefore we see him as being the muchzik and not me. Now maybe we see us both as being the muchzik, but the bottom line is the original person for sure is still muchzik in it, and not just that, he's the marakam, and as a result he's going to end up winning. So we have two drachim to understand why there's no muchzik when it comes to karka. The first derech is the Ritva, where the Ritva says that the reason there's no muchzik when it comes to karka is because muchzik is based on an umdana. Chazaka kol masha tachas yad adam harei ilu shalai. It's based on anant sahad. And just like Hagoydra saying Lam Chazaka, because over there you don't have the Umdana, so too by Karka there is no Chazaka, because by Karka you don't have the Umdana. The second derech is, it's not so much that I don't have the Umdana that comes along with every Muchzik. The reason I'm not the muchzik is because the marakama is the muchzik. It's chaser in the ikr tfisa. It's chaser in the ikr muchzikais. Muchzik means that we're fighting over this land and I'm the one that has it and not you. When I'm in the karka, it's not that you're not in the karka. The heir to still be in the karka. Right, all the nuances that you find throughout Shas between karka and metaltalin. This is a big one. Karka ain't an exalus. And because karka ain't an exalus, I don't physically have to be in my karka in order for me to be the toughest of the karka. To the extent that this is my piece of property, by definition, that makes me toughest on it. Metaltalin gets around. So the only time I'm considered a muchzik on metaltalin is if I'm physically holding it. But when it comes to karka over there, it doesn't have to be that way. So again, according to the Ritva, it's because you don't have the umdana of the cheskes koma. According according to the way the Rishivas understand the Rambam and Tosfos Bava Metzia and the Rashbam later on Daf Kufei, it's based on the fact that we view the Marakama as always being the Tafos, we view him as always being the Muchzeh. So it sounds very similar, right? It's almost hard to explain 100% what the difference is. But the emphasis, I think, there's a very, very big nafgamina, maybe, between these two tzadim. And it's really based on Raid that we spoke about in the end of Bava Metzia, when we learned the sugya of Hamachlif Parav Chamar. And that is that it's Mavur and Achroinim. And really, the Maramakim for this is Kovit Shiurim, Chelik Beis, Simen Tes. That there's two types of Cheskas Mam. On the one hand, you find the idea of Chazaka Kol Ma Shetachas Yad Adam Arei Eilushalay. Anan Sahadi the Maid the Tafas Haidi Day or Maid the Tafas Haidi Day. It's the first month or two or three when you learn Maseches Bava Metzia. It's the Grace Anan Sahadi that Tosfos talks about on the Pei Zemar Aleph that really underpins Shnayim Mechsim. If I'm holding on to something like we spoke at earlier, that's the biggest raya in the world that this thing belongs to me. Because if it doesn't belong to me, then why am I holding on to it? But the truth is, there's another type of Cheskas Mamon that you find. A Cheskas Mamon where it's clear it has nothing to do with Umdana. And that is, there's a time where if there's a Safik Mamon, Bezdin's going to say, I don't know who really should get it. I have no Umdanas, I'm no anything. But, you know what? In a situation like this, whoever has the cash in his pocket, he might as well be the one that keep it because we don't have any basis to go ahead and take it away from him. It's what's known in the vernacular as oiki mamoina chazake, that if this person punked happens to be holding on to the money, so he might as well keep it. What's exhibit A for this? Tokfukayin, right? That's literally where this whole halacha starts. What's the case of Takfu Kayin? So you have a Safik Bechar, and there's a Shaila. It belongs to the Kayin, or it doesn't belong to the Kayin. So what's the halacha? Mi Safik, you don't give it to the Kayin. What happens if the Kayin goes ahead and chaps it? So that's the big sugya. Takfu Kayin might see, and they might see. There's a man Dama that holds Takfu Kayin, they might see. Right, it's the Shita Sarambam. But the bottom line is in the sugya of Safik Bechar, where we say Takfu Kayin, they might see, and Oysa Miyada. Are you going to tell me, because the Kayin chapped it, that's a riot that it belongs to the Kayin? Of course not. The reason the Kohen has it is because he was a little bit stronger, right? This was Kol Dalam Gavar. The sugya of Kol Dalam is coming up, right? He was a little bit stronger. So he punched the other guy in the nose, and as a result, he ended up with the animal. That's why he has it. That has nothing to do with Cheskas Kolma. It's not related to Anan Sahadi, the Maida Tafas Haidi Day, or Maida Tafas Haidi Day. Why then is it that Tokfu Koyne might see Noisim Yadoi? Because right now he's holding on to it. Yeah, but I thought Cheskas Mamon is based on the fact that if you're holding on to it, this is a raya that it belongs to you. The Teretz is Sedat Tzveitidin Cheskas Mamon. And the Tzveitidin Cheskas Mamon, Muchzik says that even when there is no raya and there is no Umdana and there is no Gilui, but Oikim Imana Chazakim. Exhibit B for this. Exhibit A is Takfu Kayin. Exhibit B is a sugya that might even be more famous than the sugya of Takfu Kayin. Hamachlif Parah v'Chamar. Right, what was the case? Reuben had a Parah and Shimon had a Chamar. And they swapped out animals. And they went to the Parah and they found, lo and behold, it gave birth to a child. And the question was, when was this child born? Was it born before the Chalipin or was it born after the Chalipin? L'may nafkamina, who owns the child? If it was born after the Chalipin, so then the buyer is the one that gets it. If it was born before the Chalipin, then the seller is going to be the one that's going to get it. And what is the Mishnah? Everyone knows the Mishnah says that the halacha is yachloiku. Frank the Gemara, why is it yachloiku? V'lechse b'shusa the man kaima, v'lehevi idach ha-moitze mechaveri olav ha-rayo. Why are you saying yachloiku? The halacha should be what? The halacha should be who's the mochzik? And whoever's the mochzik, he should keep it. Frank the Isakasha, mochzik by machlev parah v'chamar. What happened to our goyd? We're saying v'hem chazaka. So this is where we spoke at Rebbe Chanan. That in Rebbe Chanan's Torah, it's mavur that the kasha is not a kasha. Because avada, there's a din of our goyd, we're saying v'hem chazaka. But our goyd, we're saying v'hem chazaka is a svara. When you're coming to with the din cheskas mamon of cheskas koma, when you're coming to with anan sahadi the maida tafas haidi day or maida tafas haidi day, so then there's a halacha of agoyd saying them chazaka. But if I'm coming not mikoyach anan sahadi the maida tafas haidi day, but oiki mamoina chazake, so what's the difference if it's a goydris? What's the difference if it's money? Who cares what it is? At the end of the day, oiki mamoina chazake. But this is cheskas mamon 101. This is Raid that we have to have mamish in the bainer. And that is that when you talk about muchzik and you talk about cheskas mamon, which is the topic in many, many ways of perek cheskas abatim, there is a fundamental chakira and two tzadim and two dinim as it relates to understanding it. There is the idea of muchzik and cheskas mamon that's rooted in umdana. It's rooted in it has to be this way. It makes sense that it's this way. Because if not, why would you be wearing someone else's shoes, right? Chazaka kol masha tachas yad adam, it belongs to him. Anan sahadi demai the toughest haidi day. But there's another type of chazaka that has nothing to do with that has nothing to do with chazaka. It's not rooted in any svar in the world. What is it? It's just status quo. Now, Rabbi Chanan has a whole arichas in Kovet Shiurim. When do you invoke the Cheskas Kolma and the Anan Sahadi, and when do you invoke the other Cheskas Mamen? So Rabbi Chanan says it's totally in whether the suffix is a suffix machmas tanoisein, or whether the suffix is a suffix belitanoisein. If the suffix is a suffix belitanoisein, what's known as Drorah de Mamoina, that's the case of Sunchas and the Chachamim, Shar Shenoga, Chamach Lepar V'chamar, etc., etc. So over there, the suffix is a real chazaka, a real suffix. And because the suffix is a real suffix, over there you can apply the din of Oikim Mamoina Chazaka. Because Oikim Mamoina Chazaka, says Rabbi Chanan, is like a regular chazaka de Mikara, where if you have a real suffix, so good, you don't know what to do, you just leave it as status quo. But where the suffix is machmas tanoisein, over this says Rabbi Chanan, you can't use the oikim memoni achazake. There, the only cheskas mamon that's going to work is going to be the cheskas mamon that works with the umbina, which has limitations. I'm going to say lam chazake, etc., etc. But again, this is Ray that we spoke about at length when we learned Bava Metzia, Dafkof for thereabout, and it's very, very fundamental in terms of understanding cheskas mamon. So again, there's two types of cheskas mamon. There's cheskas mamon of cheskas kolma that's rooted in umdana anan sahadi. That is a chazaka that works when the chazaka is when the suffix is machmas tanoisayim. And then there's the chazaka of oikim amoina chazake, which works very much like a regular chazaka de meikara, like the chazakas of ksubas taftes, like the chazakas of a kosher and mikvah, not a kosher and mikvah. She becheskas psula, cheskas paula, cheskas that she's kosher lakuna, cheskas that she's pasul lakuna, etc., etc. And that works only if the suffix is even belitan isayim, where the suffix is a real suffix, what's known as drora de mamoina, the cases of sumchas and the chachamim, they're both called cheskas mamon. They both beget the argument of hamoitzim echaveri olav araya, but at the same time, if you think about them, they're really not one and the same. Is lefize yesh loymar? We're discussing why is it that when it comes to karka, there's no muchzik. When it comes to karka, it always goes to the marakama. It doesn't go to the muchzik. And we said over two nuschais from the rishon. The first is the Ritva. The Ritva says you want to know why? It's because chazaka works mitin cheskas kolma. And by karka, you don't have cheskas kolma. Just like HaKoydra saying lem chazaka, so too by karka lem chazaka. But in the Rambam and in other Rishonim, it's mashma a little bit of a sharfer of art. And that is that when it comes to being machzik in karka, the muchzik is not the one that's physically in the karka. The muchzik is the one that is the last owner of record, because karka really is enon exalus. So the fact that you're in it, that's not even a tfisa. It's chaser in the ikka tfisa. It's not by you, bichla. You want to know who it's by? It's by me. It's not by you. You want to know what the nafkamina is? The nafkamina is if you'd have the tzveta din cheskas mamon. The cheskas mamon of Rabbi Chanan, that's true by a drarah de mamoina. The cheskas mamon that works not midin cheskas kama, but it works midin oiki mamoina achazaki. If the reason by cheskas abatim you don't have cheskas mamon is val, it's like going to say lam chazaka. So that's a reason that you shouldn't have the cheskas mamon that operates when you're dealing with a chazofik machmas tanoiseyem. Over there, that type of chazaka, that you're not going to have. Oh, but nice at the end of the day, it's in my rishos, I'm the toifus right now. You rather don't have the raya, just like a goydra saying lam chazaka. Yeah, but from a machle parva chamor and from tokfu koyin, you see that even by goydras, you have the tzveta din cheskas mamon. So why should karka be any different? What did the ritva say? It's like goydras. Okay, so zain like goydras. Goydras kufa has the other din of oikim amoyna chazaka. If, however, the reason that there's no muchzik when it comes to karka is based on the fact because being in karka, it's chaser in the ikat tfisa. You're not a typhus. Why are you telling me you're a typhus? Because you're sitting in this chair? That doesn't make you a typhus. It's chaser in the ikat tfisa. You're not a muchzik b'chla. Well, if you're not a muchzik for the din of cheskas umdun, you're not a muchzik for the din of oikim amoyna chazake. And I think
chura. This would come out a pashat and nafgamina just to bring out the two tzadim. Really, the purpose of the raid bite is not the nafgamina. The purpose of the raid bite is to just bring out the two tzadim. It's two klarit tzadim. They sound very subtle, but I think the nafgamina really magnifies the difference between the two. And that is the reason there's no cheskas mamon based on the fact that it's chaser in the umdana of cheskas kalma, or is it because it's chaser in the ikur tfisa? L'may nafgamina, Rebbe Chanan sveit the cheskas mamon. That sveit the cheskas mamon requires tfisa. But it doesn't require umdana. If it's chaser only in the umdana, so, okay, I don't need the umdana for this cheskas mamon. All I need is the tfisa. At the end of the day, I'm being matfis. So, oikim amoy nachazoki, I would have by karka. If, however, what's chaser is the fact that I'm not even a toifis, so, well, that means it's chaser in the ikat tfisa. So even if you would have a case where there's a sofik mamon of karka, where it's a sofik belitan oseim, it's a drorah de mamoina, it would be a sumchistika case, whatever the case is. But if you would have that case, you wouldn't have the chazaka there either. Because at the end of the day, I'm not toifis in it. And if I'm not toifis in it, it's for that reason I don't have it. Either way, we're going to stop here. But again, the ikker we're trying to bring out is that throughout Shas, you're so accustomed to thinking of Sufik Mamon in terms of Mukhsik. Who's the Mukhsik? And then you start learning Cheskes HaBakim. And unless you have some fancy schmancy raya that it belongs to me, because 3 years you saw me, you never said a word, and all the different, what do you mean? I'm the typhus. What happened to, because you're the Marakama? Everyone knows Mukhsik is other from Marakama. The Teretz is Karka is different. That's the Teretz. And this is really Halacha Aleph of Cheska Saban. Because it's the only Perek in Shas that it works this way. Throughout Shas, every other Perek in Shas, if it's a Sufik Mamon, who's holding on to the Mamon right now? Over here, this guy's been living in the house for 2 years, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. What do you, how could you not care? It's a Sufik Mamon. I've been living here for 2 years. You know what matters? That I'm the Marakama. Marakama? What are you talking about? I know Marakama. It's like a line in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf. I remember my Rebbe once spoke out of Kuntras HaSfeikas about Marakama. That's like a footnote, Marakama. It's true. When it comes to Cheskas Mamon, it's always secondary. But when it comes to Cheskas Abatim, the Mukhsik is the Marakama. He is the Mukhsik. Whoever's the Marakama, he is the guy. And he is the one that's considered to be the one that has the Cheskas Mamon. Why? So we mentioned two of three Mahalchim that the G'dayli Rosh Shivas talk about, really, the Mefurishim, the Rishonim. The Rosh Shivas are just bringing out and being Malakit, Vashtet, and the G'dayli HaRishonim. And again, Pes Hashem, we'll get to the third Mahalach, and we'll build on this in the coming days.